Hi everyone. I'm so nervous today. So I'm second time to preach on the stage, but still nervous. So I need your prayer and I need your concerning about me. Okay. And I often imagine, you know, that I can preach in front of English, but I'm always facing that reality that I'm not as fluent as I would like to be. So today, you will see the reality. So yeah, I will try my best. I need your help to pray for me while I'm preaching. So even though I'm not great at speaking English, I believe in the Holy Spirit who walks through me today. Amen? Don't look forward to high-quality English from me, but you may find God in my words. Amen? Amen. Yes. Let's talk about the Word of God. The James is teaching today about prayer. More precisely speaking, he talks about prayer of faith. James says that all we have to do is pray, no matter what situation you have. This is like when Paul challenges the Thessalonian church, like, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But we don't seem to know exactly what the prayer is, even while we are praying. In fact, many people have talked about prayer and wondered what prayer is. So there are many definitions of prayer. This sometimes makes it more confusing to figure out what prayer is. So we need not only to understand prayer in various perspectives, but also to understand it clearly. Amen? So, have you ever heard someone say that prayer is a conversation with God? Many people say this about prayer is a conversation with God. They believe that prayer is having a conversation with God. It's good. So I think it sounds really cool, right? So, I speak. You guys speak, and God speak to you, response to you, like this. God, long time no see. Yes, I've been a long time. I miss you so much. God, I'm so tired. Yes, I know all about you. It's hard, isn't it? It's just so sweet, right? So the idea that prayer is a conversation with God sounds like a beautiful situation. It looks like a time of a beautiful fellowship with God that makes you feel happier just by thinking about it. However, many people blame their lack of faith on an unresponsive voice. I'm speaking to God. Why doesn't God speak back? In a more serious case, people can create a hypothetical conversation with themselves in their head and imagine they are talking to God. Is anyone praying like this? Maybe you have prayed like this more than once, because I did also. Actually, the idea that prayer is a conversation doesn't exist in the Bible. There are absolutely scenes in the Bible where God has a conversation with someone, such as Abraham, Moses, Samuel, and the prophets. But the Bible never calls these conversations prayer. These are encounters with God. There are acts of God's revelation, but these conversations are not called prayer. It doesn't mean that, you know, you can't talk to God. No, you can talk. You can talk anytime. You can talk anywhere. If this is true, why would we say that prayer is a conversation? Maybe because we like the idea that we can demand things of God and we wish God would speak back to me, to us. But when we look at our best example of prayer in the Bible, absolutely the praying of Christ, we can see that prayer is quite different from conversation. The prayer we hear Jesus pray are not conversation, but words of obedience, followed by silence. Of course, Jesus asked God to remove the cup from him, but to Christ Jesus, prayer was not about claiming mind or demanding, but about kneeling down with everything that he has. The prayer of Christ was an act of complete obedience. The prayer shown through Jesus is respond to with silence rather than conversation. And it is an act of faith rather than demanding. More than anything, the prayer of Christ shows the silence of God. In the prayer of Christ, God doesn't answer in words, but accomplishes it through his works. In other words, the prayer of Christ takes place in the absence of God, who is thoroughly silent. And the absence, in the absence, leads Jesus Christ to the cross. This is how God will let us know his will and respond to the prayer. Prayer cannot enforce your will and your thoughts to God. Also, the answer of God doesn't depend on your will. In some ways, prayer may be part of a conversation with God, but prayer cannot be a whole conversation with God. So, conversation could be an important part of fellowship with God, which is distinct from prayer. In any case, attempts to connect prayer to conversation are not a good idea. Don't try to replace your imagination with the voice of God. See what I mean, you guys? So, and the other one, many people often think prayer is simply a request or wish. Of course, it is easy to find prayer as a request in the Bible. So it is very natural for us to ask God to do what we want. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Ask, and you will receive. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is opened." Interestingly, this Bible passage allows all of God's children to ask God to meet their needs. As a child, it is very natural to ask their father. But we often forget a very important fact that although we can ask all your needs through prayer to God, but the answer is always far from your wishes. You must always remember that all of the answers depend on God. Do you believe that? We sometimes might regard God as a genie in a magic lamp. So when we pray, we have to remember that our prayer may not be answered along with our wishes. Because prayer is not a petition that submits God to our needs. A prayer request is not a bill that God must pay off. The other problem with prayer as a request is that we simply don't pray if we don't have anything to ask for. Simply put, we don't ask if we don't feel the need. So especially when our lives are peaceful and have no problems, we tend not to pray. In general, we feel the need for prayer when we have difficulties or trials. But when we feel peace and stability, on the contrary, we do not feel the need to pray. However, we forget that praying for others is more important than praying for yourself. When you think of the prayer that Jesus taught, at least it is very clear that prayer is not a mere conversation, nor is it solely a request for our needs. So I would like to wrap up these ideas about prayer. First of all, prayer begins with awareness of our own inadequacy, imperfection. Prayer is an act of acknowledging my limitations, my defects, and my weakness. In other words, prayer is to appeal our dependence on God. So prayer acknowledges before God that we need God's full help. Prayer is the act of expressing human vulnerability and dependence on God's absolute existence. It also means surrendering all of things we have before God. So therefore, prayer begins with perception of absolute existence. As like Job's confession, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is the one who gives and takes away. God doesn't always respond to our wishes. You must acknowledge that all sovereignty belongs to God. Prayer is not a simple formula to request. Prayer should be continued regardless of any circumstances. When you acknowledge that all sovereignty belongs to God, you can pray in the midst of hardship and in the midst of joy. Therefore, we can say prayer is worship. To pray is to worship God. There's nothing in us, no ability on our own, that can live without relying on God. When we stand before the absolute being, all we can do is only to worship. All we can do is fall face down. So we call the expression of absolute dependence on God faith. Do you believe that? Faith. So when James mentions about prayer, saying like this, the prayer of faith, the prayer of the righteous person, the prayer of faith, the prayer of the righteous person. That's the same things. Because the prayer of the righteous person is the prayer of faith. In other words, prayer is an action that should be done by faith. James says, the prayer of the righteous person is powerful in what it can achieve. That means if you pray without faith, the prayer is not powerful and effective. According to Mark 9, chapter 9, 23, Jesus said, all things are possible for the one who has faith. And what we can see through the confession of the boy's father in these scriptures is that we need to ask for faith. We can pray for our lack of faith. According to verse 29, Jesus answered to his disciples, Throwing this kind of spirit out requires prayer. So the core of prayer is faith. What we need to pray for is faith. But many Christians seem to have a misconception about faith. What is faith? There is a really famous preacher, a televangelist, and author. His name is Joel Osteen. Do you know well, right? So he is famous for the book of Your Best Life Now. Here is something he has said. Change your words. Change your world. Shape your future. It's time to use our words to declare good things. Speak blessings over your life and your family. Throughout the day, saying things such as, I have the favor of God, I'm strong and healthy, I'm well able to do what I need to do. Actually, many Christians have been encouraged by his words. On the surface, it sounds a bit like what Jesus said. All things are possible for the one who has faith. To believe that everything is done if you believe. It seems as if faith is positive thinking. And if you have a good dream in your mind and really think good thoughts, that dream is bound to come true. Do you think this is faith? Like this, I believe I will win the lottery. I believe my illness will be completely healed. I believe I will pass the exam. I believe that what I want will be done because I believe. Jesus said everything is possible for him who believes, right? What I believe will surely come true. Do you think this is faith? People try to believe whatever they want and with positive words, hope that it will work out for them. But this is not faith. Wanting something, hoping for something, and having optimism that you will get it is not faith. James said, you ask but do not receive because you ask wrongly. To spend it on your desire. This is simply your desire. In fact, faith needs the object of belief. As was mentioned earlier, you have to be clear what you believe and who you believe in. Faith requires an object of faith. But people try to replace the object with themselves or other things. We know who the real object of faith is. We believe in the word of God. We sang before, right? We believe in the word of God and the cross and resurrection of his son, Christ Jesus. And we believe in Holy Spirit who is still walking with us. And we believe in his word in everything he has done. That's what we believe in. Do you believe in this? Positive thinking is not faith. I would like to wrap up the definition of faith with this. Faith refers to believing in God and his word alone. Faith in God alone means we rely on God alone. Faith is to believe and rely on God alone. We call those who rely on God and trust in him righteous. Who is the righteous person? James continued to say who the righteous are. We've been talking about wisdom from above the last few weeks. Those who live by the wisdom from above are righteous. And the scripture says, Abraham believed God, and God regarded him as righteous. And James says, so you see that a person is shown to be righteous through faithful actions and not through faith alone. James teaches us that righteous men and women are those who practice faith. The righteous is the doer of the word. After all, those who have faith with actions demonstrate Christ's righteousness in them. And their prayers will be faith-filled prayer. So their prayers are powerful in what they can achieve. Interestingly, we can easily find figures that contrast with the righteous in the script, in scripture, in James, that is, rich people. So James has made several mentions to rich people in his book. So it seems as if James hates the rich, wealthy people. Why is that? You think all the rich people are in the world reprehensible? Often, the rich in the Old Testament seem to be blessed by God. But there are many negative comments about the rich in both the Old and New Testament. In particular, James is also quite negative about the rich and warns of their arrogance and dishonesty. Jesus also said like this, "This is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." So, is every rich person wrong? Does it mean every rich person is wrong? So, it is very important how we define the rich people, because the Bible doesn't seem to think highly of rich people. So according to John Wesley's sermon on the danger of riches introduced by Curtis a few weeks ago, here is his definition of a rich. Whoever has sufficient food to eat and clothes to put on, with a place to lay his head, and something more, is rich. I totally agree with his definition about rich. However, in some ways, it looks like a very strict definition for us, right? It is an extreme definition. So I'd like to redefine the rich using more than just how much stuff a person has. I want to call them rich. I want to call them rich because of the two unique characteristics of the rich. First, the rich are those who seek after more material or money than they need, such as Scrooge McDuck, which means you don't have to earn a lot of money to be like the rich. There are plenty of poor people who live their lives in pursuit of stuff. And second, the rich are rich because they don't need anyone's help. That's why rich people don't look for God. In other words, rich people don't pray to God because the rich don't feel the need for prayer. They believe they already have everything they need, and don't think they need anyone's help. What both characteristics have in common is that they don't rely entirely on God. That's why James warned the rich people. As such, the rich are in contrast to the righteous. The reason that they are rich is not because they have a lot of money, but because they are looking for something other than God. It's not about how much they earn, it's about how much they depend on God. The rich today are those who believe that they can solve everything on their own without God, so they don't pray. Jesus Christ gives us the eight Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. The first of them is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Is your spirit poor or rich? The rich are not hungry and not thirsty. There is no hunger for God. They always believe they are in peace and they are doing well. But God wants to see the broken hearts, humble minds, the hunger and the thirsty for Him. James says, faith without deeds is a dead faith. So I think James saw the importance of the action through prayer. Prayer is the most powerful action of faith because prayer is an action of full dependence on God. Although people may think like prayer is a positive act, but prayer is the most active practice of faith. Do you believe that? Prayer is an act of faith in God. Faith is the act of recognizing God's full sovereignty over our lives. Prayer requires faith. Faith is proved by prayer. Faith and prayer work together. If you have faith, pray. If you pray God's will, you are the righteous person. Faith for prayer, prayer for faith. So another interesting thing you can find in the text of Mark is that there is a word that contrasts with prayer, that is arguing. We can see that situation, the disciples and the people were arguing instead of praying before Jesus came to them. Sometimes we also argue first rather than pray. The disciples should have prayed, not argued. Arguing is to have a strong opinion, right? The problem is that my opinion and my thoughts precede God's will, the way of the Holy Spirit. The righteous man starts with prayer, but rich people who believe they can solve themselves start by arguing, and then may turn to prayer as your last result. Do you prefer to pray first, or do you prefer to argue first? You know, we understand that prayer of faith is necessary. And we understand that first we have to be righteous. And we can only be righteous because of Jesus and what he has done for us. But even with all that Jesus did for us, our most fundamental problem is that we just don't pray. We don't pray. Even though we know what, how, and why to pray for, but we don't pray. I have a rather critical view of Korean church culture. In some ways, I think there is a very good part of them. That is a unique prayer culture. Korean churches usually prayed at dawn every day. It is important to pray alone, but I believe that sometimes we can come together and pray together so you can create a greater synergy. I am grateful for the opportunity to have to pray together in our church too. So such as Wednesday prayer meeting, morning and night, and small group, and neighborhood group after summer. But if you can, you can have the chance to pray more and more as much as you want. So, Pastor Milliam's family here and my family have been meeting once or twice a month for prayer meeting. At first, we just started out with a simple dinner party, but this has been evolving into a prayer meeting. So I love this meeting because I get a chance to pray more and more. I'm really sure it will be a good Christian education for my children. Yesterday, we gathered at the Millions house and prayed together and shared together and sing praise. We usually communicate in English, but sometimes we pray for each other in our own language. But Holy Spirit is working with us. According to Acts, we can see what the early churches did. They gathered together and prayed together. That's it. Then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they received a power, a power to preach, proclaim the gospel, to teach people the word of God, and bear witness. And when Peter was kept in prison, the church was honestly praying to God. How could this miracle happen to Peter? The Bible clearly explains why. Peter went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark. There were many people gathering and praying for him. We can find many miracles in prayer in the Bible. We really know the power of prayer, right? And we really know that God works through prayer. But we don't pray today. You know, when you believe in God at first, our spiritual senses are usually sensitive, very sensitive. But over time and time, our spiritual senses begin to dull. In order to awaken their spiritual senses, we need to intentionally and continuously pray. People think, I can pray anytime. That's right. Right. But it is not easy to have time to pray in your busy life, busy daily life. It's our reality, right? So it is necessary to intentionally create a time of prayer in your life and continuously. Intentional prayer is different from what you can pray for when you think of it from time to time. It is more planned and active. So you can keep your prayers constant regardless of your current situation. However, Satan will still obstruct praying. They will often tempt us with a soft whisper, don't pray, just take a rest. It's good. Or they will obstruct our prayers by angering us. Plan a time of prayer intentionally. Take the time to pray on purpose. It can paralyze Satan's strategy. There are many reasons why we should pray, but we have to pray because of the following simple and important reasons. The first, it is because prayer gives us the attitude we need in the face of absolute God. You know, Jesus also prayed, in spite of the fact that he's God, but he prayed. Second, because to pray is to worship God. And because prayer is an act of faith. And because prayer is the most powerful weapon of our church. Because to awaken our spiritual senses, the most important reason why we need to pray is because we don't pray today. Do you believe in God? Are you Christian? Are you a righteous man? If so, pray. Let's pray. I want you to pray by yourself a few minutes, reflecting of this sermon today. So whatever you want, confess or repentance or praise or anything that you can pray. Now, let's pray. Thank you for calling us as your children. We confess we didn't follow your way, even though we know what is right. But we still need to open our hearts, our eyes, and ear to listen to you. You would help us to awaken our spiritual senses. Help us to continue to pray for your kingdom and your will. Please help us lack of our faith. We will trust you alone. We believe in you alone. We love you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.